Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com. It's an off day for the St. Louis Cardinals after an impressive win coming back yesterday against the San Diego Padres, and they salvage one game in that series, and they drop 4 of 6 against San Diego this season. Coming up, we visit with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. The topics we get into: Marcell Ozuna, the offense or lack thereof, Paul Goldschmidt, Matt Carpenter, what took place with Carlos Martinez, the All-Star game, Fernando Tatis Jr., and more as we look ahead also to the Seattle Mariners. This is brought to you in brilliant clarity by Lordo's Diamonds. Lordo's Diamonds, located in the heart of Ladue, 9222 Clayton Road. See their selection at lordosdiamonds.com. You walk through the doors, and Jimmy Lordo is there to greet you. That is Lordo's Diamonds, lordosdiamonds.com. Derek Gould coming up next. Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots Tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. More features keep rolling out on the Schnucks Rewards app, all designed to simplify shopping. Your rewards points still continue to pile up, earning you money off your next purchase. But now you can create customizable and shareable shopping lists. You can shop for your family's dietary needs with the new wellness icons. Gluten-free, organic, heart smart, it's all covered. You can even find exclusive savings in a single touch with over 100 weekly coupons. Schnucks Rewards. Download it today. Our chance to visit with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And Derek, it's an off day for the club, but yesterday a much-needed win. What did you take away from the win yesterday in San Diego?
Yeah, it's a good question, Dan. I took away from a team that's kind of salvaged the series, right? Like they took a win back. I thought they were rewarded for, you know, their attempt to try to create runs any way possible. I'm thinking specifically of like Paul Goldschmidt, right? You know, infield single, takes second on an error. Tyler O'Neill takes the ball the other way. It's misplayed. You know, Goldschmidt's able to score from second. So he gets around the bases on two errors. That ties the game 3-3. That takes the game later, you know, into, obviously goes into extra innings. Then you have the Cardinals bullpen holding fast and just kind of holding on, waiting for some kind of offense to carry them. And then Matt Wieters hits the 2-run homer that eventually wins it for him. I think it was a team that needed to be rewarded for the effort that it put forward, that needed to be rewarded for kind of a stick-to-itiveness, if you will, that needed to find any way possible to just kind of create offense for itself, did, and got a win as a result.
Carlos Martinez, magnificent, yeah. At eighth inning. You know, he goes out there, walks the first guy he sees, bases loaded, you got one out. And Margot, who is so speedy, hits into a double play. Best case scenario. And then after that, strikes out the side. Another scoreless inning, 2 2/3. And one of his best outings of the year. I thought he was magnificent yesterday. And it leads me to just wonder what it would be like to have him in that rotation potentially every fifth day.
Well, it would be so important and so, just such a change for the team. It would make this group look a lot different, to be candid. I think, you know, it is not going to happen. I thought it was really interesting that he goes out there, throws about 41 pitches. You know, not exactly the kind of assignment that a starter gets. I mean, look at what the Padres did, right? Their all-star, Kirby Yates, that's their one all-star, which we can talk about if you want. I'm confused by that, how the Padres don't have a position player all-star. But Yates is their all-star. Strong reliever, very good reliever, lots of saves, whole lot of really good counting numbers for him. But he goes out there and he does an inning. That's kind of the traditional closer role, right? He goes out there. I mean, they use him in the top of the ninth because obviously there's no save that's going to happen at that point in the game. It's either he wins or he passes the baton. Whereas the Cardinals, very aggressive with their former starter, now closer, Carlos Martinez, goes out there multiple innings, again, throws more than 40 pitches, at which point you go, well, wait, if he can do that, why isn't he being groomed to be a starter? I think that outing invites that question, but it invites it while we already know the answer. I mean, he doesn't feel like, or the Cardinals don't feel like, maybe both of them in concert don't feel like he's healthy enough to kind of push deeper into a game, which would be required of a starter. I spent a lot of time talking to him, Dan. I'm going to write about this for the Post-Dispatch as well, but I spent a lot of time talking to him Sunday morning about this idea of why he likes being a closer so much and whether or not what he does this year can help him prepare to return to a starter's role next year and what's keeping him from being a starter now. I think that's a fascinating part of this. Clearly, having some kind of confidence in who's handling the ninth inning could be a huge thing for this team. But we also have, in the past month, Dan, really seen little usage for the closer because they haven't had many games where they've had the lead, or they haven't had many games where they're ahead, or they haven't had many games where they're close. They're either like way far ahead and it's not a save situation, or they're trailing. And I wonder if that's just going to put Carlos Martinez in the same spot Hicks was at, which is one of the best arms going and little use for him. And I think what we saw Sunday at Petco Park was the Cardinals kind of expanding the notion of what a closer can do, extending him, letting him do multiple innings. And the payoff was a big part of that win.
Yeah, you kind of roll the dice for that game to win for an inning plus save and then worry about tomorrow.
Off day helps.
Yes, it does.
And so much rest helps.
Let's talk a little bit about the All-Star game, and it's kind of a two-pronged question or statement. Number one, happy for Paul DeJong. Guy puts in the work and is rewarded. I talked to him in Miami about this. This was very, very important to him and meaningful. So he is headed to the All-Star game. And, you know, if this is not a situation where this one counts, boy, Fernando Tatis Jr. not to be in it is shocking
Holy
to
cow.
Me. I mean, that guy is fun to watch.
I don't know. Have we seen a better young player, Dan, than him?
I said to Jim Edmonds on the plane ride last night to Seattle, I think he might be the best player in baseball right now. I mean, he is worth the price of admission from how he can run to what his arm can do, his range, the fact he hits for power. I'm not sure he's going to be a leadoff man as his body matures and gets bigger and stronger, and he even drives it better, but boy, I mean, Mike Trout is number one and probably, you know, by a long shot. But right after that, I mean, if I'm starting a team, Fernando Tatis Jr. is my pick. He is that good.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm there with you quite yet. But I think what we've seen in such a short window of time, because we saw the Padres earlier in the season, he was not their leadoff hitter. I mean, he was the young guy still coming on, and a remarkable defensive player with a tremendous and true arm. I mean, just really one of the best arms I've seen from a shortstop, gosh, what, since Sean Dunstan?
That's that's the guy I brought up.
I don't even know where to put it. I mean, I don't think we see guys like that with an arm that true, from that distance, that accurate, that aggressive. I mean, it's really Dunstan-esque, and it might be better than Dunston, and I tread lightly saying that, but that's what we saw when we saw them earlier in the season. And the notion around the Padres, you talk to people around the Padres, or you talk to people who scout the Padres, and they're like, well, eventually he'll be the leadoff hitter, eventually he'll be around the top of the order, eventually he'll be the number two hitter. He's already there. And, you know, you look at the pitch that he took out of the ballpark, right, to right field, that was kind of a pretty good pitch. And he hit a home run on it. I was very impressed with him. That first series where the Padres came to the cart, you know, to Busch Stadium, I thought, man, that's a team that is going to cause problems. Maybe they're not a contender. Maybe they're not a winning team just yet. But that lineup and their approach, I just was really impressed with it. You know, Hosmer and Machado and Renfro, who, you know, really was limited to see this series against the Cardinals because of illness. And then he thought, like, well, Tatis Jr., you know, he's kind of going to grow into that role. But he doesn't have to be a star now because these other guys are going to kind of, you know, carry the lineup. I don't know, man. He's asserted himself as a difference maker. I stop short of saying that it's Trout and then him. And I totally get why you're saying that, just because, you know, a guy named Nolan Arenado exists. And I think Matt Chapman is really good. We just saw him at Busch Stadium.
I'm taking Tatis. Guys,
what's that?
I'm taking Tatis. I saw enough. I've seen enough. He's so young. I'm starting a team. I'm going with that guy.
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, he's right there. I still think Nolan Arenado exists, man. He's the best all-around player in the National League. And to me, Tatis is running after him. Not yet running after Trout. I still think Arenado's there. But he's going to close the gap fast, that's for sure. He's very impressive. And to hit on your original point, there is no reason why he is not. I'm sorry. I saw some of the picks that the commissioner had to kind of fill out a team. There is no reason why Tatis Jr. is not in the All-Star game. And I'll be shocked if we go the next 8 days and he's not put on it.
I completely agree. Couple more things, we'll let you go. The Marcell Ozuna injury for a team that already is, you know, dying for offense. He was the guy that you look to. So that's a huge loss.
Could have been the All-Star.
I think he would have been.
Likely would have been. Could have been in the home run derby.
Let's also, though, kind of move this forward. Depending on when he comes back on a free agent to be, and depending on where the team is at this point, how does it complicate his future and where he may play next year? Because you could trade him, you could hold on to him, you could get him for a stretch run for your team or somebody else. What do you think this does to maybe complicate matters just a bit?
Yeah, Dan, I think it's a great point, and it's one that I almost am hesitant to talk about on the podcast because I feel like it's something I should address in the newspaper first. You know, I think his injury comes at such an awkward time for the Cardinals. You know, they're halfway through the season. They're a .500 ball club. When they hit the halfway point of the season, they were actually a losing ball club. They've moved on from that with an 11th inning win there in the Padres. Now they're fiercely .500. They cannot break through that .500 record. You know, does that make them a potential seller at the trade deadline? Well, there's still plenty of time to determine that, but you know, the timing of the injury to Ozuna comes at really just a weird point where he's going to be coming back. You know, he's going to see a specialist here in St. Louis. He left the team, as you know, in San Diego, went back to St. Louis, going to see a specialist. There's an element of this hand injury that's really going to be what he can tolerate, right? It's going to be a healing process, and then it's going to be what can he tolerate? What kind of pain can he tolerate? What can he do to come through? How quickly does that grip strength come back? All of that stuff. And so some of it is just based on him, the human. What can he do, and how quickly does he heal? Well, if that happens, then you're talking about, you know, late July, 1 week to go in July. And this year, you're talking about a deadline hard and fast of July 31st. Where are the calls at that point, and how much has Ozuna shown at that point where if the Cardinals aren't where they expect to be, say, you know, they're a losing team at that point. It is entirely possible that if they continue the current trend of their offense, that they're a fifth-place team at that time. I know it's hard for people to kind of wrap their mind around that, but the division is packed such that they could be a fifth place team with another losing streak like they just had. The Reds are playing well. You know, the National League Central is going to peel off and start playing other teams. So that's possible. So does that mean move Ozuna? Because if you don't move him in the last week of July, you're not moving him at all. And then, you know, what does he perform? What does he do? Where do the Cardinals go? Maybe they go on a hot streak. Maybe they got another August in them. Maybe they get back into contention. Who knows? But at some point in time, you have to weigh what the return could be. And to be candid, Dan, they're not going to get great return on an Ozuna just back from injury, unlike if they had Ozuna, you know, just raking right now for a while. Say he get to the trade deadline with 25, 26 home run, and the Cardinals had, you know, were fading from contention. That's a huge asset to move to get a quick rebuilding jolt that sets them up for 2021. Now they don't have that. And I just think it is a weird part of this, Dan, that you bring up. And like I said, I almost kind of regret exploring it here with it because I should address it in the newspaper first because I think it's so fascinating. But I think it's a big part of this. And the conclusion I would bring, and I think you would agree with this, is the best way for the Cardinals not to have to face that riddle is just to start winning. Be a buyer at the trade deadline. Maybe even jump the market and be a buyer quick before Ozuna comes back and put yourself in a position where this isn't even a question.
And a final question with that. That means the offense, as you pointed to, has to pick up. And
yeah,
going into the game yesterday, the Cardinals in the month of June as a team were hitting .223. The worst month ever since 1913 as a team, the Cardinals hit .218 in 1978. The on-base percentage for the month going into yesterday was .285. Worst ever, 1978, .285. And so what I'm talking about here is the fact that this team has been challenged offensively. So, you know, the question or the point, can they turn it around, specifically Carpenter, Goldschmidt, and where's Jeff Albert with this in trying to get this thing going?
Well, I mean, do we have 45 minutes to come?
Yeah, I get it. I'm just, give me a summation of what needs to happen a little bit with this offense.
Paul Goldschmidt has to be Paul Goldschmidt.
Hair Saloon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mend, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Saloon for Men, 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Saloon for Men. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow, Derek, and we'll get ready for game one.
Am I wrong?
No, I had a lengthy conversation with a member of the staff about that. And I said, you know, on the air, I pointed to it and I said, look, I don't mean to put this all on one guy or two.
Yeah, it's not right.
It's not right. And there's others that have to get on base for him to drive him in, or, you know, other people need to step up. But if you look at those two guys, Carpenter and Goldschmidt, if they are who they have been, this team's probably in first place, and they're probably in first place by maybe three or four games because the month of June was unkind to the NL Central. And again, I don't want to put it on two guys, but those two guys have to be better as we go forward.
Yeah, the Cardinals would really, really benefit from guys hitting like the back of their baseball cards. I hate to offer that up as a cliche, but Paul Goldschmidt being Paul Goldschmidt and, you know, Matt Carpenter being Matt Carpenter those two being themselves would mean a radically different team. There's no doubt about it. And I think Goldschmidt has found some ways to be productive. But, you know, he usually terrorizes the Padres. Look, he entered Sunday's game 0 for 18 against the Padres after, you know, having what, like something like a 15 to 17 game hitting streak against them. This just absolutely striking fear in the Padres. A hitter who has done well at Petco Park, which is a ballpark where very few hitters, you know, On Saturday, Dan, you know, two Padres hit two home runs each, right? We saw Machado and Reyes hit two home runs each. That's the first time that's ever happened at Petco Park. It's not like that's a new ballpark.
Well, it also matched their all-time record for home runs in a game, a single game at Petco Park with five.
Right. Okay, so that offers you a perspective. And Paul Goldschmidt, who used to call the NL West home, who used to visit Petco Park three times a year, would strike fear in the locals when he would come up to the plate. This is a guy who has done exceedingly well, above average against Petco Park. This is a guy who is the all-time leader in OPS at Miller Park. The guy who's the all-time leader, I believe, or at least top three, in slugging at Wrigley Field. A guy who, you know, hasn't been too shabby in Cincinnati either. He's just not been the Paul Goldschmidt that is a six-time consecutive All-Star. You know, the announcement of the All-Star rosters, while we focus on who made the team, it is also, like, noticeable who didn't make the team.
Agreed.
The only player in the National League to appear in or to be selected for the previous six All-Star games is Paul Goldschmidt, not Bryce Harper, not Nolan Arenado, not any of the National League All-Stars that we could all name by heart, or the guys that we figure would be All-Stars every year. It's Paul Goldschmidt. He's the only guy who had been in there six consecutive times, not a seventh. And the Cardinals traded for him, and they extended him, believing that it would be a seventh consecutive time. And I don't think there's any other way to say that. So one way for this offense to get better, there's a lot of ways for this offense to get better. Let's not excuse it. I mean, there are times where it looks like, did they prepare for Zach Greinke and they're facing John Lester? I mean, there are times where they're like, it's like, what is going on here? Or what could they do better? And it is 1 through 9. There are a lot of things. Situational hitting has been problematic. Gyro Munoz saved the Cardinals. I don't know any other way to put this. Gyro Munoz saved the Cardinals from a remarkably awful missed opportunity. Bases loaded, Tyler O'Neill's up, just has to put a ball in play, and they get something going, and he strikes out. Gyro Munoz, you know, single up the middle, hard ground ball, single up the middle, but still a hard ground ball, single up the middle, gets two runs out of an inning that could have gone upside down on them, and just sort of reinforce the notion that situationally this team is struggling. But there's still this element that, like, if Paul Goldschmidt is Paul Goldschmidt, if Paul Goldschmidt is the fear factor in the lineup that they expect him to be, if Matt Carpenter is the OBP monster that he can be, this is a way different team.
Derek, thank you. Enjoy the off day, and we'll talk tomorrow before game one.
Off day?
Well, I know you have to travel. We all get it. All right. Well, I'll see you tomorrow, okay?
All right, I'm going to write a little bit about Carlos Martinez, I think. I was really fascinated by that.
It was good stuff. It was his best outing of the year, and
absolutely.
He hit 99 at one point. His changeup was terrific in keeping batters off balance. And
absolutely.
It was, you know, vintage Carlos Martinez. Well, that's pretty good, too.
I mean, he made I wish I could remember the hitter. But he took something like 10 miles an hour off his slider and made it all look silly. I mean, he pitched at a remarkable spectrum of pitches. And I talked to him Sunday morning about it, so it was long before he ever had this appearance, but I just talked to him about what he has learned about himself as a pitcher, and what being a reliever could mean for him as a starter. So I'm going to write a little bit about that for the Post-Dispatch.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Derek. We'll catch you up tomorrow.
All right. Enjoy Seattle, Dan.